Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are hanging out with us today from wherever on the planet you happen to reside. With us is Liz Holland. She is the woman in charge of several mall properties in the Midwest. And we're going to be talking about the transitions that are going on in with regard to malls that actually started several years ago and now due to COVID-19 has perhaps accelerated a bit. But we'll get the picture on a broad sense from Liz Holland. Liz, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
All right, let's dive into this a bit, because we've reported on malls transitioning over the last several years. And of real interest to me is what the industry has seen. Now, you led an industry group for a period of years traveling around the country. Talk to me, first of all, about that group, and then what you were seeing when you were heading it up.
Sure, Michael. It's, you know, I was the chairman of the International Council of Shopping Centers from 2016 to 2017. So I was really in the thick of the e-commerce versus brick and mortar retail question during my tenure as the chairman. But, you know, the privilege of being able to lead a trade association of, you know, over 70,000 members worldwide and see how around the planet, different people do things differently. You know, I think the mall business and the retail business generally is a very challenging business, but it's not particularly complicated. And so being able to watch how other people did it around the globe was a great service to me and my efforts, you know, in my own properties.
How different is the shopping center, the mall business in the United States than perhaps in Europe or in Asia?
I think probably the biggest difference in what you're seeing now most acutely in the U.S. is that the development of shopping malls in the U.S. was for the most part driven by the anchor stores. So for example, in, you know, close to home, when my grandfather picked the Passionist Fathers Monastery in 1957, as a good site for Merle Hay Plaza, a lot of that decision was driven by the fact that Sears, Roebuck and Company at the time wanted a store there. And so Yonkers became the other anchor store. And so you had a two anchor shopping plaza, you know, with an open air concourse in between. And that really was mimicked around the country in the US. In Europe, particularly, shopping mall development wasn't as driven by a traditional department store model. They have hypermarkets there, which tend to be kind of what we would consider our super Targets, what we would consider our super Walmarts. But they don't, the department stores there didn't drive the location of the shopping mall. So it was a different model. And as a result, as the department store business has met some headwinds, you know, they haven't had the same challenges in Europe that we've had in the U.S. Asia is a little bit different than Europe, but for the most part, the challenge in the U.S. is driven by the challenge in the anchor store business.
Got it. That's so interesting, because sometimes we just miss that. And we all know, because again, we've reported on this increasingly with the results of large-scale department stores and what's happening there in the retail front. And that's so interesting to learn the difference between the Asian market or the European market and the U.S. model that has really, in a sense, undercut the mall and shopping center experience for so many people. Let's talk a little bit about how some operators, and you included, Liz Holland, are reimagining their spaces. We've reported in the past how some are taking double-decker malls, putting living quarters on the second floor, shops on the first floor, plenty of parking. We've also reported on Amazon taking over chunks of places out there for fulfillment centers. What are people visioning for the future of these malls that in many spots are sitting pretty empty.
I think the evolution has truly been an evolution. I mean, what occurred to us 20 years ago as, you know, the construction of Jordan Creek in West Des Moines was looming, you know, was going to be a major competitor to us, was that even the best shopping mall is at most a monthly needs destination for the people who live in that trade area. For most of the people, it's probably a quarterly needs destination. And what we saw the opportunity to do was to make Merle Hay a weekly needs destination. And so how did we do that? We brought in Target, and Target has groceries. So really overnight in, you know, July of 2005, we became anchored by what was essentially a mixed goods merchandiser in Target, which, you know, is virtually the best at what they do, that included a full line of grocery. And so that evolution of moving away from the traditional mall, lots of soft goods, lots of shoes, a little bit of food and a little bit of entertainment, has come to more of a balance, which I think is actually healthier for the industry. And if you're able to accomplish it on your property, it's healthier for the trade area to have a wide variety of goods and services that meet many needs of as many people in your trade area as you possibly can. And certainly Flicks did that by creating a very unique destination for us. And now, you know, with the total reimagining of the shopping center into what will include, you know, a tremendous anchor in the form of, you know, junior sports and hockey, is really going to be, you know, I hate to use the word, but it will be a true game changer for the shopping center.
Our guest is Liz Holland, ladies and gentlemen. They own properties, mall properties in Ohio, Illinois, and in Iowa. Well, seeing how you've brought up Iowa and the storied Merle Hay Mall, which, and again, I said to you offline, I'm old enough that I remember the Merle Hay Mall at its zenith. It was a point of destination shopping for people, maybe not necessarily in Des Moines, Iowa, but for those individuals who lived outside of the Golden Circle, and those regular trips to Des Moines that would include a breeze through to shop things that were perhaps not available outside of the Golden Circle, as they call it. So I remember those days, and they were just fantastical. And then, of course, you know, the change came, and e-commerce came, and retail came, and your decision in 2005, which I think is brilliant, to move Target into as an anchor store, because then shoppers do this on a weekly basis rather than a monthly or quarterly basis. So now you are in another transition with the Merle Hay Mall in Des Moines, Iowa. And that transition, I think, is fascinating. You've partnered up with some hockey folks in Des Moines, and I know the folks at the Iowa Wild very well, and they keep saying, you know, one of these days, Des Moines is going to become a hockey town. And I think your plans for the future is going to make that a reality. So tell us about what's going on now and what you envision for the future with that property that sits on Merle Hay and Douglas.
So what we're essentially envisioning, Michael, is really moving all of the retail towards Merle Hay Road and putting the anchor in the rear, you know, on the west side of the project will be a 3,500 seat multi-use arena, but principally hockey, as you say, for the Des Moines Buccaneers hockey team, and one sheet of practice ice in what is the existing Yonkers building, what had been the Yonkers department store. So we're very excited about the environmental considerations about reusing the existing infrastructure. You know, all we need to do is take the roof off and make that building work for our purposes. And then in the former Kohl's store, we will be putting two more sheets of practice ice. So what you will really have is four sheets of ice for a junior program in the Des Moines Buccaneers that's been around for 40 years, you know, a tremendous program for kids who want to get into Division I hockey programs around the country. I think it will most definitely put the Des Moines Buccaneers program even more on the map than it already is in terms of attracting kids from around the world to come and play. When you have, I've learned a lot about the hockey business in the last 2 years, when you have three or more sheets of ice, you can host 64 team tournaments,
wow,
which is 1,200 children, not including parents and coaches and, you know, fans. And so being able to do that in every age group, being able to have, you know, the little kids all the way up to, you know, the Division I contenders is really going to be a huge boon. And I agree with what the Iowa Wild has been telling you. I think that both because of its geographic proximity in the Midwest, as well as having a world-class facility like what we are proposing, will be a tremendous boon to the hockey program.
We're talking with Liz Holland, ladies and gentlemen, the owner of several properties out there across the United States, Ohio, Illinois, and we're focusing right now on Iowa, which is the Merle Hay Mall and the transition from a shopping center to a multi-use facility with a focus on, of all things, interestingly, hockey, which is, you know, which is kind of, you really nailed something there when you talked about how many potential people would be coming to Des Moines, Iowa for these tournaments in the future. That's a huge boost for your retail properties that would be facing Merle Hay Road, as well as establishments that are close by that could house people and make this a real destination point for these kids and parents. That's huge, Liz.
Yeah, it will be tremendous, particularly when you think about it, Michael. You know, most of those hotels in and around the Merle Hay corridor, you know, we're proposing a 150-room hotel on the property, you know, as well as the new hotels that have gone in on 86th Street in Urbandale. You know, they're very busy Monday through Friday, but not as busy Thursday through Sunday.
Right.
And so the idea that these tournaments are mostly hosted Thursdays through Sundays will really be a perfect counterpoint for those businesses in the area that don't see the kind of stay nights on the weekends like they do during the week.
When you were visiting with your current tenants at the Merle Hay Mall and you were sharing this vision with them, was the word, folks, you got to hang on just a little bit longer because we've got something in store for us all that will turn the page on this? What was their reaction?
They were very, very excited. You know, a lot of them have been with me a long time, so they kind of know that I don't say I'm going to do something and then not actually do it. You know, I'm always careful not to get over my skis, so they know when I announce it, it's, you know, it's going to happen, and we're very optimistic. You know, we still have to hear from the IEDA is the state agency that's going to review our application for the sales tax grant. But, you know, that said, we are very committed to the project. You know, what we particularly like about it is we are adding a mixed use component for the first time in Merle Hay's history. We will have housing on the site, and currently under construction just west of IHOP is a workforce housing. It's 47 units, 47 apartment units. We are proposing to do the same thing with Merle Hay Tower and the adjacent theater, which is to provide senior housing in that building, because that building is actually attached to the enclosed mall concourse. So think about this. You can walk to the grocery store inside in a climate like Des Moines, which when it's good, it's very, very good. And when it's not good, it's not good. And, you know, and we just think that that will be, you know, a tremendous benefit to those residents to be able to walk to the grocery store, walk to the movies, walk to a restaurant, walk to all the goods and services, a hair salon, a barber shop. So, you know, we're just excited about really transforming the property with this new project.
And something else that you alluded to, when you have apartment living close by, that's also a draw for individuals who may work within this reimagined space that you have, which is so necessary for so many people to live and work within walking distance of their life. I mean, this whole transformation is absolutely stunning, and congratulations on that. But you mentioned something about the grants and the sales tax, so I want to dive in just for a moment into the business model. And the business model is always something extremely important because you got to pay for all this stuff.
Yes.
Right? So, this is a big deal. Overall, what's the project cost? Have you got a raw number on that?
Yeah, the project cost overall will be probably around $125 million. And what we have applied for is a $30 million grant. And it's important for people to understand this because, like a lot of people, I agree that, you know, you shouldn't subsidize business unless business is really given back. And the piece that's being subsidized by the sales tax grant is the arena, and just the arena, not any other part of the project. And what the grant is the state would agree, we have applied for the state to give us over the next 20 years, a $30 million amount of new sales taxes generated at the mall.
Hmm.
So, you know, the state portion of the sales tax is 4%. And we have asked the state to give up their 4% on the increase of sales taxes. Now, we know, you know, even in its crippled state, Michael, and I think people are amazed by this fact, even in its crippled state with a dark Yonkers and a dark Sears, you know, in a pre-COVID environment, Merle Hay generated $98 million a year in retail sales.
Wow.
So what we are only looking for is however much more sales we generate as a function of the arena would come back to us in the form of a grant. And, you know, the mall sits both in the city of Des Moines and the city of Urbandale. So they needed an agreement because most of the sales taxes generated in Des Moines will go to fund a project in Urbandale, which I think is a great hallmark of the cooperation and the level of commitment at the city level that we have had. You know, you and I both remember the days when the communities around Des Moines and Des Moines fought each other for every last, you know, dollar of tax. And so I think now, you know, this is really a good paradigm of how, you know, you can create a whole that's greater than the sum of the parts by cooperating.
It is a fascinating look into the future, and not only in the future of what's going on in Des Moines, Iowa, but also around the rest of the world. Just final question for you, Liz. You have properties in Ohio and Illinois. Are there similar things being considered in those two states for you?
Well, in Ohio, you know, just as we bought the Sears store in Des Moines, we are trying to buy the Seritage store in Ohio. So in that project, that's not an enclosed shopping center, but we are trying to make it a mixed-use project. It currently has retail and office in the same way that we're trying to add a mix of uses at Merle Hay, because we really feel like that's the wave of the future. And as you say, you know, when people can work close to their jobs, that's always a benefit. And so we are excited there about, you know, making the same transformation, maybe not as much of a transformation. But I will tell you, around the country, this junior athletics, you know, kind of youth athletics, is very much at the cutting edge of what people believe will come back the fastest post pandemic. You know, we all feel so bad for these children that work so hard at their respective sports and have had to suspend that participation for the most part for a year, you know, and I think everybody is very excited about them all getting back on the ice, back on the field, back on the court, whatever it is.
I couldn't agree more. And now that we are hopefully looking at this whole mess in a rearview mirror soon, God willing, that we can move forward with so many opportunities, not only for, as you so aptly said, with regard to your property in Des Moines, Iowa, this will be something that impacts the youth, individuals who are families, and also seniors taking advantage of the changes with regard to this, the tower, the Merle Hay Tower. Fascinating conversation, Liz Holland. Thank you so very much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Once again, that's the voice of Liz Holland, the Chief Executive Officer of Merle Hay Investors. And we will have a link to the Merle Hayes site in particular, so that you can perhaps see what's going on there, wherever in the world you happen to be. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right this moment was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Liz Holland, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.